Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Robert Sinn, also known as Goldfinger, over at CEO.ca and publisher at Energy and Gold. We will post a link below this interview where you can follow up with Robert and keep up to date on some of his recent articles. Robert, we're going to be talking a lot about the precious metals here, and I first just want to look back, more or less recap this last month of November, because gold was on a run for about the first 3 weeks of the month. It had broken above 1800, ran the whole way up to about 1880. It was closing in on that 1900. It was above some key moving averages like the 200-day, the 50-day. And it was above just generally these psychological levels, like that 1800 and like that 1830 and 1860. There was a lot of optimism for the precious metals, especially in the gold community. But then last week, it was a shortened trading week, gold got hit. And now it's given up pretty much all of its gains for the month. A lot of people are saying, well, let's see how gold closes compared to 1800. If it closes above 1800, that's good. Below, it's still okay. Robert, what's your takeaway from the volatility that we saw this week? And does 1800 even matter at the end of this month in your eyes?
Hey, Corey. That's a great question to start our conversation here today. Yeah, I don't really think it matters if gold closes at 1801 or 1793 or whatever. I don't think it matters. We're still in this oscillation around the 1800 level. And, you know, when I first started getting involved in markets almost two decades ago, really smart veteran trader once told me, he said, you know, Robert, it's all going to come down to the same question. And if you can figure out the answer to this question, you can figure out what to do. The question is the market trending or is it oscillating? And a lot of people will show you systems and tell you that they know what's going to happen next, or they're going to give you a signal. But at the end of the day, if you don't know the answer to that question, is the market trending or is it oscillating? And on which time frames, you know, is it the market trending or is it oscillating? Then none of it works and none of it matters. And so gold is in this classic, you know, situation where obviously on the really long term time frames, gold is trending higher. It's in a bull market. It's gone from whatever, $20 to $2,000, 1790 here this afternoon. But on shorter time frames, gold is a mess. It's a choppy mess, and it's oscillating, quite frankly. So, you know, what we saw throughout the month of November was an uptrend, a rally, obviously, early in the month, and that gave way to selling. And we're still pinning or near this 1800 level, whether it's 1785 or 1810, it really doesn't matter. It's still oscillating. So as much as I would love to say, it's broken out, the bull market is back, and as many gold market observers, commentators, gold bulls are constantly looking for that signal that we're going back above 2000, the reality is it's not here yet. You know, and we did have a nice technical breakout early in November above around that 1820 area, and it saw some follow through. I mean, we got up to 1880. That was a pretty nice follow through. And a lot of people say, oh, well, the technicals didn't work. Well, yeah, they did work. It broke out above 1820 and it rallied another $60 an ounce. That's a huge move for gold. So the technicals absolutely did work, but you have to know when to sell at some point. And we went right back down after Biden chose Powell for another 4 years. Obviously, there was some speculation that Biden was going to choose the other candidate, the more dovish alternative. And I honestly think that much of that gold move above 1800 to 1880 in mid-November was actually speculation that Powell was out. And we're going to get a more, you know, dovish, even more dovish than Powell, Fed chair. And then that didn't happen. Biden went with the safer alternative. And clearly inflation is still an issue. we're definitely getting hot, data across, the economy, across the world. And up until this new variant emerged last week, there was pretty strong signs the Fed was going to have to hike at least twice in 2022. And even I think for a day or two, the market was pricing in three hikes in 2022. So that's generally speaking, not a positive for gold.
Well, Robert, one of the things that really boosted gold in November was there was some speculation on the Brainard versus Powell situation, but most of the move up was predicated on that hot CPI reading at 6.2% and the fact that the Fed had started tapering. Right after that Fed meeting, it shot a lot higher. And technically, the move started in October and had been going higher for October and November and really broke out. And it also broke above that 1836 level, which was a key, higher peak that it had failed at three times. So it was encouraging. But ultimately, if you zoom back a little further, do you think it comes down to establish a trend versus an oscillating situation? Do you think it comes down to either gold's got to break below 1675 and say, hey, it's in a bear market, or would gold have to break above 1900 or that 1920 region to say, okay, we now have a trend higher? Would that be a bigger picture look at it, or how do you see things when you zoom back a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's in a big oscillation, and I don't know what the exact downside level is. I mean, obviously 1677 was tested a few times and it held. So if we did break that, that would be really bad, for sure. I mean, obviously, that would be really bad. On the upside, it's funny because I think 1923, is the level, because that was the all-time high from 2011. And clearly that area around 1920 has been a key level for the last, year or so. So, yeah, I mean, to really feel good about an upside move, yeah, I think we probably need a weekly close above 1923. But I'm a little, reticent to give levels here because I think that it all depends upon your time frame, and we're all looking at, different time frames. And, it's important to be clear on what time frame you're talking about. But bigger picture, weekly, monthly, I think that 1923 is a big level on the upside. And as long as we're going between 1750 and 1900, I think it's still a big oscillation. Obviously, inside that oscillation, there's going to be patterns on the 30-minute chart, the hourly chart, the 5-minute chart. So you just have to be clear on what you're talking about and what time frames you're talking about. As far as the CPI goes, I mean, we always like to create a narrative for why gold or why any market was doing something after the fact to make ourselves feel better, like we actually understand what's going on. But I actually think that really, if I really think about this market and try to understand what was happening, the fact there was so much speculation that Powell might not get tapped for another 4 years, I think that was a very positive thing for gold. There was a lot of speculation of that, and then it didn't happen. And what did gold do? As soon as Biden picked Powell for another 4 years on Monday morning, gold got creamed. So cause and effect, I think that's about as good a cause and effect you can get. I know that a lot of gold bulls want to point to CPI and high inflation as bullish for gold, but I actually don't think it is. I actually think that we're at a point where hot inflation data is negative for gold in the short term because it pulls the Fed into more tightening sooner. And, a lot of gold bulls will say, well, real rates, all that matters is real rates. So yeah, but more than likely, the Fed tightening faster into an economy that is most likely downshifting as we speak, is going to pull inflation in 2022 and 2023 down. Meanwhile, they're going to be raising rates. So real rates are actually going to get less, negative as the Fed hikes. So generally speaking, I actually don't think that the whole CPI cause an effect and high inflation stuff is good for gold and silver. And actually, if you just look at what's happened in 2021, what has happened? Inflation has surged in 2021. Nobody's arguing that. Prices have gone up. What have gold and silver done in 2021? They've dropped. So if we actually look at facts, what I'm saying is happening is actually more supported by facts than what gold bulls are saying. in terms of high inflation is good for gold.
Well, Robert, just one more quick question on this. And I don't disagree with some of the comments you're making, because I think that gold gets touted so much as an inflation hedge when really it's more of a chaos hedge against financial tomfoolery from the central banks. But the move in gold really did start right after that hot CPI number came out. So people could point to that and say that's cause and effect, because it came out and it immediately spiked higher. And some of the move last year in 2020 to an all-time high, a 50-year high and an all-time high, was gold sniffing out in advance that inflation was coming. It's a forward-looking market, and it knew with all the money printing and the stimulus and the all the PPP and the helicopter money last year that it would lead to inflation. A lot of people said inflation would never come. It's the boy that cried wolf. And then inflation did show up. So couldn't some of that move in 2020 to an all-time high have been the reaction to gold sniffing out inflation on the way?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Chad. Actually, I think that's a great point. Gold, the gold market is looking ahead always. And that's something that a lot of people don't seem to understand. So you're right. In 2020, when COVID was this big issue in the early part of the year and the, you know, middle part of the year, and we had all these big stimulus programs and the Fed was doing all this quantitative easing, gold was sniffing out what was going to come down the road a year or so later, right? And that's what we're seeing now. So just like it was sniffing that out, this huge expansion of, you know, money in 2020 that's gone on, you know, throughout, you know, this year, gold is now sniffing out, well, the Fed is going to have to tighten. The Fed's not going to be able to do this quantitative easing forever. And also, the inflation that we're seeing now is not going to last. So the rate of change in inflation data cannot last. So yeah, prices have gone up. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to go right back down, but they're also not going to keep going up at near the pace that they've gone up for the last year. And so that's what gold and silver are telling us. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, honestly, like, we could talk about this for days and it doesn't really matter. The fact is that, yeah, gold went up from 1450 to 2090. Everybody was bullish. Everybody was excited about gold, and it's done not much. It's gone lower, you know, for the last year or so. But it's still near all-time highs in the big picture.
Yeah, it's a very good discussion back and forth here in terms of the inflation data and how that's driving gold. But I've always argued it's the direction that these things are moving. And I realize that inflation just spiked up over 6%. But unless we think it's going to go to 8% and 10% and 12%, that would be a good driver for gold. But if it comes back to 5 or 4, that is still, in essence, going the wrong direction. And to your point, Robert, markets are looking ahead. So all of this, though, again, is all just conjecture, because we don't know where this data is going. We all have opinions on it, and I think we can look to the markets to give us a little bit of insight into where some of this data might be going. Fact of the matter is, gold's been under pressure in this higher inflation environment, but the stocks, they've been consistently getting hit. And that's one of the issues, too, is because as much as we talk about gold, most people, at least that are listening to us, are invested in the gold stocks. And you came out with a great article very recently, tail end of last week, that talked about you building up your shopping list for tax loss selling season. We still have a lot of debate whether we're going to see more tax loss selling. I think we might, but again, that's just all a guess in my eyes. Robert, what do you want to get across when you came out with that tax loss selling, really recap of some of the stocks that have caught your eyes because of how much they've been beat up this year?
Kind of interesting. I did a webinar Friday afternoon. It's funny, I chose to do a webinar on Black Friday, but I felt it was important to add some color to this list, and it was kind of timely because markets were getting killed on Friday. It's a good opportunity to maybe put in some stink bids. And I asked the viewers, there are only about 35 people in the webinar, but I asked, do you think we've seen the worst of tax loss selling season, or do you think it's going to get worse? And actually, almost 2 out of 3 respondents said it's going to get worse. So people are pretty damn pessimistic out there, Corey, because we've seen stocks get hit pretty good in the last few weeks in the gold sector. And actually, The gold miners, you know, as a sector are down seven trading days in a row. That's a pretty damn good losing streak. So the fact that after that kind of a losing streak and that kind of a sell-off that we've seen, people still think it's going to get worse in the next couple of weeks is pretty amazing. So that's kind of a real-time snapshot of sentiment. The sentiment is not very good in the gold mining sector right now. But yeah, a couple of points to get across, I think. Every year around this time of year, right around Thanksgiving in the States, or maybe a little after Thanksgiving in the States, we kind of get this period of time that lasts for a week or two where stocks are basically almost no bid. I mean, there are certain stocks that have performed really bad for the year, down 70% or more. And there are people that want to just dump them to book tax losses to offset gains that they have in other trades. And they almost just don't care what price they sell at. They just want to book the loss. They want to sell and get out. And people know that, so they're less likely to put in bids at market. They're more likely to put in bids under market or just wait to see how far down these stocks trade. And that sort of gives this opportunity for those who have some dry powder, those who have some foresight, some willingness to look optimistically towards the new year, that maybe in a couple months, 3 months, sentiment might change. There might be some optimism as these companies go back to explore their projects and, you know, drill. And so, yeah, I really put a lot of thought into this list. At one point, I had about 20 candidates for it. And it's always interesting because I've done this for 5 years in a row. Every year, you know, you think, oh, it's not going to be as bad this year. And every year, it seems to be at least as bad in terms of how many stocks are down so much from their highs. So, yeah, I managed to narrow the list from about 20 down to 6. And it wasn't easy. And I put a lot of thought into these. And I really sort of chose the ones that were beaten down the most that I also thought had quality management teams, had good project portfolio. A lot of them, 4 out of the 6, are still well-funded. They have more than $5 million cash in their treasury still. So they're not desperate to raise. I think that the market could come back to being in favor towards them during the first half of next year.
Yeah, Robert, it's kind of uncanny what's happened every right after Thanksgiving to before the Christmas, that kind of late November, early December. Every year I remember buying, and then we talked about the Q1 run. So whether it was 2016, 17, 18, 19, or 20, almost every year there's a run into the first quarter, but this weird sell-off into the tax loss selling season. You have a great list there. Do you feel like sharing one of the companies that you've isolated with our audience just to give them a teaser or kind of an idea of your thought process on one of these companies?
Yeah, I think, Ridgeline is a really good name to pull out of the you know, list. Great CEO, guy you can get on the phone, have a conversation with, straight shooter. He was completely honest, you know, with me that they have a couple, you know, million in cash still there. He's not looking to do a raise in the second, but probably early next year, he'll have to raise money to do the exploration programs on the company's four projects in the best mining state, the best mining, you know, jurisdiction in the world. And the Carlin East project, right there in the Carlin Trend near some of the biggest gold mines in the world. They are waiting, results from that project. So those could drop in the next, month or so. And basically, you know, you got a stock that's down more than 50%. It's trading under a $20 million market cap. And you have 4 or 5 whacks at a big win. If they make a, new discovery at any of these projects, in these locations, it's going to get the market's attention. It's going to warrant most likely a more than 100, million dollar market cap. So you have multi-bagger possibility here. with, I don't think, a lot of downside risk at 32 cents a share.
All right, Robert, we're going to wrap it up here, but I am going to direct everybody to that article that you wrote where you go through a handful of other stocks as well that you see as great tax loss selling opportunities. Unfortunately, sounds like there could still be some pressure coming into some of these stocks that have already been weighed down, but we'll see how that all plays out, and we'll see how December goes, but I know that November is encouraging, as it was for the gold bugs as we walked through the first 3 weeks. Unfortunately, that was all given up in a shortened trading week, and now, even today, gold is trending just a little bit lower. Robert, as always, buddy, thank you for your time. It's great chatting with you. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we look forward to getting you back on the show in another couple weeks.
Thanks, guys.